So Josh just emailed me a story from our good buddy Klaus. Well, kind of in an indirect way. I want to go over this story and kind of connect some dots here. They don't come right out and explicitly say that this is the next objective. We'll save the Davos types, but I think we can insinuate with what they imply in the article as to what we could see next from as far as the narrative they're trying to push. So let's get right over into this story here. And this is from news. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what type of news, but it just says news. Okay. ABC Science. Oh, good. So thank goodness we've got an article that's actually following the science, right? Because we know as long as it says science, then we can trust it wholeheartedly. We don't have to ask any questions. We don't have to do any critical thinking whatsoever. So this is from The Science. Climate change targets achievable by keeping global emissions to Cerveza sickness levels, scientists say. You guys can see where I'm going with this. And this is by environment reporter Nick Kilvert. Josh, just quick question. What do you think Nick's testosterone levels are?
I would say you would consider him a soy boy.
Yeah, maybe low T.
Most likely.
Just a guess. All right. So, of course, they've got this picture of some person that looks like they're just struggling to ride a bicycle, but they're just giving it their all to give the middle finger to Putin as all of these crazy capitalists in the background just polluting the entire earth while they're lighting their cigars with $100 bills. That's kind of what this implies here, this nice picture. So to keep climate change within limits that we can reasonably adapt to, the world needs to cut emissions at nearly the same rate it did during the peak of the Cerveza sickness. So you'll notice right off the bat here that they're ambiguous, that nearly. Well, what does nearly mean? I might have a different definition of the Nick, and the scientists here may have a different. What is nearly? Does that mean 50%? Does that mean we're within 1%? I don't know. And that's the reason I'm nitpicking here is because whenever you see articles that are extremely vague, and we talked about this yesterday, or topics, you know that there's an ulterior motive here because they intentionally do this. So you can't quantify the results. So the results are whatever they say they are. And you just need to shut up, listen, and just believe whatever the experts say, because you're just too dumb to make your own decisions. Between 2019 and 2020, global carbon dioxide emissions experienced the largest single year-on-year decline ever recorded. Okay, that makes sense. Dwarfing dips during both the GFC. Okay, so here's where we're going with this. So now they're going to start to equate economic growth with destroying the planet. So it's okay to have lower economic growth. It's okay for living standards to go down. That's just the price we have to pay to make sure that we're going to be here in 50 years and we're not going to completely destroy the planet. So and what does that mean? That means that the poor and middle class have to reduce their level of consumption. That means that the emerging markets, like the Colombias as an example, well, you guys need to reduce the amount of gas or diesel you're using because you're the ones that are polluting. Where we, the rich people, well, we can afford to drive around in our $100,000 electric car. That, by the way, we're getting the electricity from coal, but don't worry about that because Putin's bad. This is kind of the game they're playing here. If we could contain that trend every year, so here we go, guys. If we could keep the emissions down to that level every single year around 1.5 degrees Celsius, according to international team of scientists. So this tells you the massive change we saw in the economy in this case because we were shutting it down. An equivalent change needs to happen in the decarbonization of the world, says a study from co-author Pep Canadal. Okay, so again, what they're saying is we just need to lower economic growth, we need to lower economic activity, and we have to do this even if your standard of living goes down. That's the way this always works, right? It's not me that needs to pay a higher tax. It's everyone else out there. Or for the global elite, it's not them that need to lower their standards of living because there's just a few of them. That doesn't matter. It's the other 7 billion people on planet Earth. They need to lower their standard of living so we can feel good about whatever it is that we're trying to achieve. Those equivalent units in the economy that shut down, those units need to be switched to zero carbon economy. So again, this isn't really a prediction, but I can totally see them saying, okay, well, we're not able to achieve these objectives by the free market. We're not able to achieve carbon zero or whatever. There's some other boogeyman under the bed that we just can't see, but trust us, it's there. And the only way that we can tackle this problem is to just go into a lockdown every single year. I mean, who cares? We're all living on Zoom now. We're all ordering from Amazon. We've got the essential businesses that are allowed to stay open, but all the non-essential businesses that the poor and middle class own, well, they can shut down. They don't matter because they're non-essential, right? So again, it's the government and the corporatists, really. It's that public-private partnership that Klaus always talks about. They're the ones that get to choose, well, who is essential and who is not essential. You see how this works. And again, this isn't a video saying that climate change isn't real or it's not a problem. This is not that video. What this is just, again, saying that these Davos types, they don't care about 1.5 degrees Celsius. All they care about is gaining power and control. And if they're able to create this narrative and use this as a fear tactic, then the solution is always going to be, well, let's give the mega corporations more power. Let's give the politicians, let's give the global elite, the IMF, the World Economic Forum. Let's just give us all of the power to control all of what the 7 billion people are doing. That's always going to be the solution, no matter how they spin it up front. While the economy contracted during 2020, that does not need to be the case in order to reduce global. And how is this, Dr. Canadl? Again, as you guys know from watching this channel, that energy is the economy, period, end of story. So if you want to reduce global emissions, fine, but that's going to come at a cost of economic growth or economic activity, and that cost is going to be paid by the people that can at least afford it. It's not going to be paid by the people driving around in a $100,000 Tesla. I can tell you that. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macro economics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. And see, then it goes on to say that we need to decouple fossil fuels from the economy. Okay. Again, if you guys look at that chart that I use all the time of energy usage, it just goes exponential. So does the population growth globally. So does economic activity. And if you don't have that energy growth curve going up at the same trajectory as the global population, there's only one result that's going to happen. That's going to be standard of living is going down. So, I mean, people watching this from the UK or from a first world country, you know, Canada, United States, you can sit there and point your finger, but I want you to come down to Colombia and let's go over to some of the poor areas in Colombia and tell those people that they shouldn't strive to improve their life because it's going to hurt the environment. And if they can't afford to buy a $100,000 Tesla, then they should just start walking. Let's have that conversation in some of the barrios around Colombia or any of these emerging markets and see how that goes, right? And obviously I'm being sarcastic there, but if you think about it in those terms, it brings to the surface what we're dealing with here. After all the warm and fuzzies go away, we're dealing with real people that are going to suffer if you pursue these policies. That's the bottom line. So again, it's great to want to transition to renewable energy. Awesome. I'm all about it. But you have to understand that you can't replace, or you can't just replace what we have now. You have to replace and increase at the exact same time. It's not about replacing. It's about replacing and increasing, because we have to have more and more energy, access to more and more energy, period, end of story. So I would like the doctor to show me how we can transition without decreasing the energy we have access to. And so the solution here is really to use more fossil fuels, not less. The solution is to use more to transition from A to B. But the only way we can do that that doesn't decrease standard of living is if we allocate more capital to exploration. And we don't demonize these things. We have to see it as a tool to get to or from point A to point B. So transport and shipping, the biggest factors. So I'm sure the bottom line here, and again, look at this picture. So I just got done running some errands right here in Medellin. And when I went across town, I would say, just like this picture, 80% of the vehicles are these motorcycles like this. Why? Why is that? Because people, their standard of living is increasing here. You're an emerging economy. And people go from walking to riding a bicycle to riding a motorcycle, from a motorcycle to a little teeny weeny car that most of you would never ever be caught dead in the United States. And then from there, you move to maybe a truck, then you get up to an SUV. I mean, I see it with everyone around me here in this area, how as they get more and more money, that's the path they take, right? So if you're saying that, oh, well, we just need to, you know what this guy is saying, well, transport's the biggest problem. Okay, well, good. Tell all of those people out there that are improving their lot in life, that are providing for their children, providing for their wife, riding for their grandparents, their husband, whatever. Tell all those people that they got to stop riding their motorcycle because it's not environmentally friendly, because it's not green, right? Again, this frames the conversation the correct way. So then they're going to get more charts on emission statistics. Okay, yep, we get it. And they keep going. They're going to keep going back to 2020, saying how amazing that was for the environment. Let's see if we can get a conclusion here. We need a planned transition across society to implement the changes that are needed. So that's, you get the gist of the story here. And it's that, look at, we can use this as a benchmark, what happened during the Cerveza sickness. And we can say that, you know, how do we achieve this every single year? Because if we're able to do this, then that's going to get us to where we need to be by 2050, let's say. And I mean, I can see it. I can see the headlines now. I can see the Davos types talking about this in 2 or 3 years. Is, you know, what's interesting is if we're going into a global recession, this is going to be on the back burner. Because as you guys know, when the economy is doing well in the United States, let's say when inflation is low, sure, climate change can be right up there with a top priority. But once you can't afford to put gas in your car, you can't afford to put food on the table or a roof over your head, all of a sudden climate change, not so big of a deal. It kind of goes on the back burner. So this is what's ironic. Is if we go into a recession that nobody wants, obviously, the good news is that's going to put all of the potential climate lockdown initiatives on the back burner, because that's going to be politically unpalatable. But when we come out of that recession and the economy starts doing well again, my guess is they're going to revert back to this type of narrative. So that's what we need to watch out for, so we can push back and make sure that they're not gaining any ground when looking at it through the lens of our personal freedoms and liberties like they did in 2020. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.